Chapter 11. A Flood of Sunshine. Arthur Dimmesdale gazed into Hester's face with a look of hope and joy mixed with fear. Hester was strong and determined. The Scarlet Letter had isolated her. It had made her an outsider. In a sense, it had freed her. As an outsider, she was free to see and judge the Puritan institutions and laws with a critical eye. Her mind was free to think, to wander, to dream. She had become very independent. The minister, on the other hand, had lived and worked within the strict laws of the Puritan community. Only once had he transgressed. But it had been a sin of passion, not of principle or purpose. Finally, he was able to see a ray of hope in his future. He had decided to flee, but not alone. He understood that he could no longer live without Hester's companionship, strength, and tenderness. Once the decision had been made, he began to feel a strange enjoyment, a sense of exhilaration and relief.
"You will go,"
said Hester firmly.
"Let us not look back. The past is gone. See, I am removing this symbol forever."
Hester removed the scarlet letter and threw it away among the leaves. The stigma was gone. Hester had not known its weight until she felt the freedom. Then she took off her cap and let her beautiful hair fall upon her shoulders. A tender smile appeared on her lips. Her sex, her youth, and her beauty all came back from the past. And all at once, the sunshine burst forth into the dark forest.
"And now you must know Pearl,"
she said joyfully.
"Our little Pearl."
"Do you think she will be glad to know me?"
he asked.
"She will love you dearly, and you will love her. I will call her. Pearl! Pearl!"
Pearl walked towards them. At a certain point, she stopped at the brook.
"Come, little Pearl, cross the brook,"
said Hester gently. Pearl did not want to go to her mother. She looked at Hester and seemed to be searching for the scarlet letter on her bosom. She pointed her little finger at her mother's breast. The scarlet letter was missing. She shrieked wildly, gesticulated violently, and threw her small figure into extravagant contortions. Her anger seemed uncontrollable.
"I know what bothers her,"
whispered Hester to the clergyman.
"Pearl misses something that I always wear. I must bear its torture a little longer until we have left this region. Then I will throw it into the ocean."
With these words, she picked up the scarlet letter and fastened it to her bosom. She then gathered up her hair and put on her cap.
"Do you know your mother now?"
Hester asked.
"Yes, now I will come,"
answered Pearl, jumping across the brook.
"Come, the minister wants to welcome you,"
said Hester.
"He loves you, and he loves your mother too."
"Does he love us?"
asked Pearl.
"Will he go back with us, hand in hand, we three together?"
"Not now, dear child, but in a few days he will walk hand in hand with us. We will have a home and fireside of our own. You shall sit on his knee, and he will teach you many things,"
Hester said. The Reverend, wanting to enter into the child's heart, bent forward and kissed her on the brow. Pearl immediately broke away and went to the brook, where she washed off the Reverend's kiss. As the minister departed, he turned around to look at the mother and child to assure himself that he had not had a vision. He saw Hester in her gray dress, and near her, little Pearl. They had decided to flee to the old world, with its crowds and cities. There they would find a shelter and a civilization that were congenial to the clergyman's culture. It so happened that there was a ship in Boston Harbor that was sailing for Bristol in 4 days. They booked the passage for 2 adults and a child. In 3 days, the minister had to deliver the important election sermon. He would not have left without doing his public duty. After having met Hester in the forest, he felt a surge of physical energy. He was amazed at the change that had taken place in his body and in his spirit. He felt strong, energetic, and strangely mischievous. He felt transformed. At every step, he was tempted to do something wild or wicked. He had a strange desire to be scornful and bitter, to ridicule all that was good and holy. He felt spiteful and unkind.
"What is it that haunts and tempts me in this way?"
he said to himself.
"Am I mad, or did I make a contract with the fiend of the forest and sign it with my blood?"
As he walked through the town, he met Mistress Hibbins, who said,
"So, reverend sir, you have been to the forest. The next time, tell me, and I will accompany you."
"The only reason I went to the forest was to greet my pious Indian friend, Apostle Elliot,"
answered the reverend.
"Ha ha ha!"
cackled the old witch lady, and went away smiling. The reverend hurried home and began working on the election sermon, which was extremely important to him. There was a knock at the door. It was Roger Chillingworth.
"Welcome home, reverend sir,"
he said.
"How is Apostle Elliot?" "Oh, but you are pale. My medicine will help you feel better for the election sermon."
No, I do not think so. My walk in the forest and the clean air have done me good. I will not be needing your medicine anymore, my friend."
All this time, Chillingworth was looking at the minister with the caring look of a physician. But in spite of this outward show, the reverend was almost convinced that the old man knew about his meeting with Hester. The physician knew from the minister's look that he was no longer considered a friend, but a bitter enemy. Both of them carefully avoided the subject. When the reverend was finally alone, a servant of the house brought him dinner, which he ate with a good appetite. Then he threw the original election sermon in the fire and began writing another one. On the day on which the new governor of Boston was to take office, Hester and Pearl came to the marketplace. It was an important holiday because it marked the beginning of the new political year of the colony. The marketplace was crowded with the inhabitants of Boston, dressed in their black and gray clothes. There were also brightly dressed Indians, settlers from the wilderness, and rough-looking sailors from the ship that was in the harbor. The Puritans were a bit less stern and gloomy on this holiday. Hester finally felt free, happy, and hopeful. She knew that soon she would be starting a new life without the Scarlet Letter. Her heart was light. In the distance, Hester could see Chillingworth talking to the commander of the ship. After a while, the commander stopped to speak to Hester.
"Well, Mr. Sprin, I have another passenger on board my ship. This time we will have two doctors on board, the ship's surgeon and this other doctor."
"What do you mean?"
asked Hester, who was startled.
"Is there another passenger?"
"Why, you must know. This physician, Chillingworth, says he is a member of your party and a close friend of the gentleman you spoke of."
"They know each other well, indeed,"
replied Hester, trying to be calm. At that instant, she saw old Chillingworth himself, standing at the corner of the marketplace, smiling at her wickedly. Before Hester could collect her thoughts, the sound of military music was approaching. The procession of magistrates and citizens was on its way to the meeting house, where Reverend Dimmesdale would deliver the election sermon. The music became louder and Pearl clapped her hands. Following the magistrates came the young and eminently divine reverend, who would preach the sermon. This was the first time that Reverend Dimmesdale had shown such energy during a procession. His body was not bent and his hand did not rest on his heart. But it was a spiritual strength, not a physical one. Hester gazed at the clergyman and felt that he was another person, so different from the reverend she had met in the forest. She hardly knew him. He moved proudly on, surrounded by the rich music and the procession of the venerable leaders. Hester decided to listen to the sermon from her position beside the scaffold, since the meeting house was very crowded. The reverend's voice was like a musical instrument. It was filled with emotion, passion, and anguish. It was majestic, but there was an element of sadness in it. As Hester listened to the sounds that came from the meeting house, Pearl ran about the marketplace, looking at the townspeople, the Indians, and the sailors. One of the sailors said to her,
Your mother is that woman with the scarlet letter. Tell her that I send this message. I spoke again to the old doctor, and he will arrange to bring us his friend, the man she knows, aboard with him. So your mother need not worry, except for herself and you. Go and tell your mother.
Pearl nodded and ran off to tell her mother, who was devastated by this message. Was there no way out of this labyrinth of misery and persecution?